Amen. Well, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And man, I can't imagine living in this world without him. And we surely wouldn't have any hope. And man, it's just a blessing to be here with you all tonight and to be able to already shake a lot of people that were smiling at us and just glad to be in God's house. And I've heard some of you talk good about your preacher, so that's always a good sign. And so I just want to just say thank you just for allowing us to be here. And preacher, I just want to say thank you so much just for becoming a friend and for allowing me to be able to come down and speak with you and opening your door to your church. You know, a pastor, you know, is the under-shepherd, right? And you got to be careful who you let get a hold of the flock, especially coming behind this pulpit, and I don't take that lightly. So thank you so much for the time. But just to introduce myself, I am Pete Davidson. This is my wife, Makia. She's taking off her jacket, so I won't have her wave, but she's here in the front. And then we do have three children here. Sophia, she's 5. Ariana, she's 3, and Sebastian is 18 months today. So we're just very thankful that God has blessed our family and just allowed us to be able to spend this time. And I'm looking forward to what God will continue to do. I've been blessed just by singing some good old hymns and to be able to lift up the name of Jesus. You know, I don't get over simple things, simple truths. You know, a lot of times we sing hymns and we allow those things to be so mundane. You know, we kind of go through the motions so much that a lot of times they lose their power, not within itself, but they lose their power to us. And I pray that we wouldn't just come and go through the motions of church, but that we would realize that we need the presence of God in this place if anything's going to be accomplished. So I'm very thankful for that. But just to let you know a little bit about myself, I grew up in a very religious home there in Dayton, Ohio. I am from Dayton. My father raised me Catholic. My mom was Pentecostal. So I was very religiously confused. One wanted to dance and one just wanted to sit down. I didn't know what to do, okay? But very religiously confused there in Dayton and went through some trials and tribulations like a lot of people. I ended up living in an abused women's shelter with my mother there downtown at the YWCA. Spent some time there further out in the Troutwood area. I spoke to someone that has spent some time there in Troutwood. I actually lived in a house with my mom, and there were 8 women and their children living in one house. And going through some of those difficulties. But God, throughout all of those circumstances, God always has a plan. And God allowed me to be able to move to the east side of the city where I ended up being reached by a bus ministry there by the Cornerstone Baptist Temple, Independent Baptist Church. I'm there on the east side. And a faithful man that didn't look like me, he didn't talk like me. We probably didn't like the same type of food, but he was faithful to God to do what God had given him an opportunity to do. And he drove that yellow bus there faithfully and allowed me to be able to come into a church where I was just coming for basketball. They had an open gym there, and I wanted to play ball. I wanted to be with my friends. But again, as I had my motives and things that I wanted to do, God knew that he was going to work in my life to be able to do something that was greater than just about me or just about my family or even just about that church. It was about his plan to be able to reach the lost. And while being there, I ended up going to Camp Chautauqua in Miamisburg. And through there, I was able to meet a preacher by the name of Pastor Kenny Baldwin there in 2007. And we talked for about a year, ended up moving down with him and his family my senior year of high school. And he just loved on me, allowed me to see what a good Christian family looked like. Because at that time, my family had been torn apart through divorce and lots of other mess. But there I had an opportunity to be at a good Independent Baptist church where they were preaching the truth of the Word of God and be able to travel and see how God was working there. And through his family and my wife's family, we actually got connected after my freshman year of college. I was actually all the way in California. My wife is from the Bahamas. And we got connected there. And thank the Lord, after all of that time there at that church, in July 10th, 2011, and I had been there for some years, but this just shows you can be in a church, and you can change the way you dress. You could try to change your language. You could change your playlist, and you could do all of those things, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. You can do a lot of those things within your own strength, and you can make a mess out of things. But God was working, and he was turning over that soil of my heart. And thank God, on July 10, 2011, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and got it nailed down. And then a year to the day, July 10, 2012, I had married my wife. And we got married there in the Bahamas and had an opportunity to be able to serve there at a church where her uncle, and her background is completely different. You can tell by the way she carries herself, okay? She's sophisticated. She is an educated lady. But she accepted Christ at a very early age of 7, and her grandmother, just a great woman of God that just loved on them and their family. They have a great history there, and her uncle pastors a church where we were able to serve until God brought us back. And so we served there in the D.C. area with Pastor Kenny and them for a little while, and then God led us to take a step of faith. And we left a good church where God was working to be able to see what God would do in our lives. And when we did that, we were in North Carolina there at Haines Baptist Church for a little over 2 years. And we went to an old country church. Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know why God led us there. The church, it was a good church. It was a good size, about 450 people. But it was an old country church. There wasn't many people that looked like us. They had some missionary boards up, but they weren't very missions-hearted. And matter of fact, they were 109 years old as a church, but they had never been involved in planting a church or sending out someone to plant a church. So I really didn't understand. But lo and behold, God continually has a plan to be able to bring us there and worked in our hearts. We saw the outreach program. We started going door knocking. It wasn't just a few older gentlemen anymore. It would start being young people and young adults, college and career, and some of the ladies started coming out. And God really worked in that place so much that last September, God worked in our hearts to say that after he had already called me to preach, but he gave me some direction to say that now is the time. And Dayton, your home, your hometown is the place. And through that local church, we've been sent this year. We've been on deputation from the beginning of the year. And now we have an opportunity to be able to plant a New Testament independent Baptist church in my neighborhood. And if you know anything about Dayton, as I talked with a gentleman before, there's a lot of good churches in Dayton. There's about 7 or 8 churches, especially in the suburban areas of Dayton. But there on the west side of the city, it's majority black and Hispanic. There is no good church. There is no independent Baptist church. There's no church that's actively preaching the truth and training up, fulfilling all of the Great Commission. But yet God has called us to be able to go there. So at this time, I want to show a brief video. It's about 3.5 minutes long. It doesn't give you a whole lot of time to take a nap. But if you need to, you know, nobody's going to judge you nonetheless. But if you would, just watch the video. I pray that God will work on your heart. And then we'll come up for the preach word. Amen. Well, if you, you know, I had mentioned about the west side of Dayton as far as being predominantly black and Hispanic, and there's some reasons why the city's ended up in that way. And if you actually go on PBS and go on Dateline, the series there, it actually talks about Dayton and it talks about the Wright brothers and all those things, but it also talks about the opioid epidemic, which I'm sure that's affected you here as well, and all of the other issues. But it also talked about when there were black people from the South that would come up to the North seeking jobs during that time period, how the bank would manipulate the system and wouldn't allow them to get into good school systems and would force them to be able to be on that part of town. And so while obviously I am a black man, I am also, what you wouldn't believe, is I'm also Hispanic. My mom is from Panama, so Spanish is actually my first language. So I am an undercover brother, okay? And I surprised all of you. And but, you know, that's only God. You know, God does things like that. My wife, she's from the Bahamas, but she's fluent in both Spanish and French. That is not something that we just, you know, we have a certificate that says, oh, we're bilingual, we're something special. That just means that gives us a greater opportunity to reach more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as you look at Dayton and you really look at all the world, what you realize is we're in trouble. People without Christ are in trouble. If you look on the west side of the city, you'll find a lot of steeples, but you won't find a lot of churches. You'll find a lot of places where they go to worship, but you'll find that there's not a lot of truth. We in the black community, or even on the west side of Dayton, or even in America, you won't find, it won't be very difficult for you to find religion or religious people. But what you will find, it is very difficult to find people that have the truth, that have sound doctrine. And I just pray that you all would continuously keep us in prayer as we strive to plant a solid New Testament Baptist church there within my old neighborhood. And we're excited about what God is doing. We've had a men's Bible study going here for the last 9 weeks, going on 10 weeks now there downtown. God's allowed us through the city to be able to get a building right next, is a block away from where the Wright brothers grew up. And that building, it has a sanctuary and has a Sunday school wing with two levels, allowed us to be able to purchase it from the city for $2,500. And that's not a monthly thing, okay? That's a one-time payment, and you get the keys, hopefully, within the next 12 months, hopefully by October of next year. We'll get keys for that building. And that just shows us that we serve a big God. And we are trusting God to be able to provide the means. So we've seen some people trust Christ, and we're seeing some people grow in the Lord. We'll start there at the Crown Plaza here in April. And if you have any more questions, I look forward to being able to speak with you, and I look forward to being able to share some more information. And I do have a slide back there if you want to take a peek. It shows you some of the guys that we've been being able to minister to, and shows the building and some other things as well. But are you ready for some preaching? Man, we need the word of God, and I'm looking at that clock, and I know you guys are spoiled. You guys are very timely here. Count your blessings. And so if anybody stands up, I know you're not going to the restroom. You're leaving. No, I'm just. But we'll be mindful of that time, and we got little ones as well, so we definitely understand that. But if you would, let's turn to Acts chapter number 8 tonight. Acts chapter number 8, and we are going to begin reading in verse number 26. And once you found yourself there in Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. I'm going to ask, first and foremost, that you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And now that you're there, I will also ask, if you are able and willing, if you would stand with me for the preaching of the Word of God. This is not something that everyone does, but it helps me to realize that, hey, there were some good things happening in church thus far, but guess what? This is the most important thing that we have. There's nothing more important in our lives today than the Word of God. And I pray that we would reverence it as such and ask God to speak to our hearts as we read. But we'll begin reading there in verse number 26. The Bible says here, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For this life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What an answer, church. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and there, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went out his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, I'm just so thankful that we have an opportunity together to be in your house tonight. And Father, I pray that as we just take a moment, Lord, and we sit in our seats, Lord, and we listen to your word and listen to the message that you have for us. Oh, I pray, Father, that you would just take all those things that burden us down tonight, those difficult things that might be going on, those things at our job, in our homes, in our families. And I pray, Father, that you would give us a clear mind, that you would give us softened hearts to be able to receive the word and the seed of the word. Oh, Father, I pray that that seed would take root tonight. I pray that we would see it take root in a way that we wouldn't be able to keep what we've learned to ourselves, but that we would see the fruit, we would see branches spring up, and that we would be able to see fruit, not just to our account, Father, but for your honor and for your glory. We love you. We thank you for all you've done thus far, and we're excited to see what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. And I'll give you a brief overview. If you look at the beginning of Acts chapter number 8, what you'll see at the very beginning is the talking and the showing of the scattering of the church. Jesus Christ there had given them a command, and thank God that his power was being seen there. They were preaching unto them Jesus, and people were getting saved. People were getting baptized. They were getting added to the church. It doesn't take a very difficult time to be able to remember Peter and how he preached there on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls got saved and 3,000 souls baptized in one day. That's one world of a service. Amen. But there, if you read on, you'll see that that wasn't the only account. There were other times where multitudes of people there in Jerusalem were getting saved. And this church ended up being what we would call a mega church in that day. This church began to be quite large. And as we would know, anytime we preach the truth of the word of God or we share the gospel and people are getting saved, that's a good thing. Amen? But also, what we must realize is in Matthew chapter number 28 and verses 19 and 20, we're given not just something that's an opinion, not just something that's a good thing to do, but we're given a command by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that command says, go ye therefore and teach not just some nations, not just Jerusalem, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then Jesus says this, and lo, I am with you always. What a comfort to know that Jesus has given us, yes, a monumental task to not just reach our homes and not just reach our little areas, but to reach the world. But what comfort we have to know that no matter what difficulties may come, no matter how crazy people look at us, no matter what kind of language we might encounter, and no matter what might be brought up against us, we have the confidence in knowing as long as we're being obedient to the Lord and being obedient to fulfill that commission that he's given us, we have Jesus. We have his presence. But here at the beginning, as the persecution came and the church got scattered, we see here that Philip actually was able to be one of the first members of the church. He was the first one mentioned to go out from Jerusalem and share the gospel in somewhere else to a different people. He was the first one to share the gospel outside of the city of Jerusalem. And there, when most people were there and they were spreading the gospel to other Jewish people and were giving them the truth of the word of God, Philip didn't just go to other Jews, but Philip saw an opportunity to go to Samaria, a very unlikely place. And he went directly to this place, which was the last place that any Jew would want to go. We have to understand that the Jewish people, they looked at the Samaritan people as a step down of a different class. They were a mixed breed. They were someone that they weren't going to socialize with. They weren't going to touch. They weren't going to waste their time. But Philip understood that he was given a command. And he wasn't just given a command by a man. He was given a command by the Lord Jesus himself. And he realized that it didn't matter if a person looked like me. It didn't matter if they were of the same culture, if they were of the same complexion, if they were of the same whatever. He understood that every person, every sinner is a candidate for the gospel. And he went there no matter what the traditional prejudice was of that day. But there in Samaria, Philip went there and he didn't have an agenda. He preached unto them Jesus. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ, and multitudes there responded. They began to come and hear the word of God. They began to get saved, and a great group started forming there of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was so amazing to see what God was doing there, so much so that Peter and John there in Jerusalem heard about it, and they had to come just to check out what God was doing in a very unlikely place. But when everything was going well there, and a great multitude was going, Philip very easily could have said, you know what, I'm just going to stay here now. And now, you know, God has used me. I've seen people saved. There's a good gathering here, and everything seems to be going well. And I could just go ahead and set up shop and have a good, build my own kingdom here in Samaria. But Philip was called to go away. He was called to go away, and it's when God led him from Samaria that he was able to connect with a lost man from Ethiopia. And we'll see that there in our text. That was a very unlikely thing to do, but yet he was obedient to that call. And for a few brief moments tonight, it amazes me how God brings things together, because as I took a moment to be able to listen to you, as you still believe in prayer, and thank God for a church that still believes in being able to bring forth our petitions before a holy God, amen? He's still a God that hears and answers prayer, and we thank God for that. But as I listened, I heard many of you share your heart and your burden for people. Many of you spoke of a family member, spoke of a friend, or just spoke of people that you know they need Christ. But we must realize that that is our job. We have not just the responsibility, but we have the opportunity to connect with the lost, to connect them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So for a few brief moments, I want to preach a message that I entitled The Importance of Connecting to the Lost. The importance of connecting to the lost. God has put us on this earth. It's more than just, we're more than just here for careers and to earn money. And we're more than just here to be able to enjoy sports and enjoy things that bring excitement to our lives. But God has us here for a purpose. And I pray that we'll look here and see how God worked in Philip's life to be able to reach this Ethiopian man, and also how God can work in your life to be able to reach your community and also to reach the world. If you're with me, would you say amen?
Amen.
And we'll dive right into it. If you look there in verses 26, in the beginning part of verse 27, I'll read it again. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And then it says, "And he arose and went." And he arose and went. The first thing that we see, because the truth of the matter is, you can look at our world and realize that our world needs a Savior. Our world needs the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not very difficult. And you can hear your brothers and sisters in Christ sharing prayer requests and realize that they need Jesus. You can look at a video of the west side of city, and you can see young men that are there and doing things that they don't even realize what they're doing. And many of those young men, they're just doing what they know. Many of them don't have daddies. Many of them haven't been taught right, and they're in unfortunate circumstances. But you don't have to look long to realize that they need Jesus. But the question lies, although we know what we're commanded to do, how do we go about it? How does God use someone like me and you that some might be more talented than others? Some might have more charisma and have more enthusiasm than others. Some might have more experience talking with people than others. But how does God take someone like me and someone like you to reach them? The first thing that we see here is that we must obey God immediately. We must obey God immediately. We see here, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. He was there in Samaria, and we already spoke of that, how God was blessing there in that place. For him to leave a place that was thriving really didn't make sense. But sometimes you going to the other side of the street, or sometimes you giving a little extra towards missions when it doesn't look good in your bank account, sometimes the things that God asks us to do really don't make sense. In our flesh, we say that person's not going to be receptive. They're not going to listen to a stranger. They're not going to listen to someone that looks like me, depending on how they are or where their background is. Oh, man, there's only so much that I can do, Lord. I just don't know. But we must obey God immediately, even when it doesn't make sense. We see that Philip, he did that, but also we must obey God even when it's not easy. We see here that not only was he told from God to leave Samaria, that was a thriving place at the time, but it says here he was sending him to desert, to a desert place. Oh, sometimes, and there might be some here tonight, you find yourself not in a place that's very fruitful, but you're doing all the right things. You're praying. You're reading your Bible. You're a faithful member. You're here on a Wednesday night, and you find yourself in a desert place, a place that's dry, that's quiet, and you really don't understand. But even in a desert place, we must realize, we must obey
God. No matter what the circumstances may be, none of us have an excuse to not obey God. But Philip obeyed God when it didn't seem to make sense, when it wasn't easy, but also when it wasn't convenient. Not only did he tell him to leave Samaria, go to a desert place, but also when he told him to leave, he didn't give him much details. He just said, go and head towards this direction. Head towards Ezra. Head in that direction. I don't know about you and me, but I like details. When I'm going to do something, I like to know everything about it. When I go to the drive-thru, I like to know, okay, family, and with my three children, 5, 3, and 18 months, as I said, okay, let's make sure that when we get up to this McDonald's drive-thru, do you want nuggets or a burger? We don't have many options. We don't get a salad from McDonald's. That would be silly. You either get nuggets or you get a burger. I just like to know what I have going on. But Philip realized that, hey, God didn't give me much details, but guess what? Even though that's not convenient for me, I must obey. And so we must realize that when God is speaking, and guess what? We don't have to wait for God to speak. The Great Commission is already being given, and he's put you here in 2018 for a purpose to fulfill that Great Commission, to see people saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, to see them baptized, but also to see them taught to be discipled. God has given you that task. And let me just say, don't give it another day. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another year for you to say, okay, now I feel like I'm a good Christian where I'm comfortable to be able to share the scripture. Guess what? If you're saved here tonight, if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need to be able to help someone that's without the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must obey God immediately. But secondly, we see that we must be looking for opportunities. We must be looking for opportunities. In verse number 27, again, it says, and he arose and went. And it says here, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. We see here that Philip ended up finding and seeing an opportunity that God had placed in his path. But the first thing that we see here when we're looking for opportunities is that Philip didn't go with his own connotations of how things were going to go. Guess what? Philip went with no bias. Philip went with no bias. The reason why sometimes we're not able to reach anyone, or the reason why God isn't able to work in our lives the way that God wants to work in our lives, is because we have so many things, so many biases in our own mind. You know, a person has to be within my age group to be able to witness to them. Or they have to be from my neighborhood for me to witness to them. Or they have to come at a time where I'm not already doing something. You know, they have to come at a time where I'm just sitting, or I seem to have some time in my hand. And we come up with all these things, but Philip, he had no bias. As he was led in this way, and God had given him an opportunity to speak to this Ethiopian eunuch, Philip ran into a person that wasn't like him. This Ethiopian eunuch he didn't look like him. I'm sure he was a different complexion. I mean, he came from Africa, okay? He's an Ethiopian man. So I'm sure they was probably a different complexion. They probably, again, didn't eat the same food. They probably didn't talk in the same manner. But yet, it was opportunity that God had given him. And he realized that, guess what? All sinners are a candidate for the gospel. Amen. Oh, how many times have we looked at someone, maybe someone that had a head wrap and that looked like they were of a different religion, and did we say, oh, that person's not going to be receptive. I'm going to just keep that track in my pocket. Oh, I'm going to just keep my mouth closed. Maybe someone else. Why? Because we had a bias to who we gave the gospel to. God says no. He desires to get the gospel out to all creatures. Philip had no bias, but also we see that he had no fear. In verse number 29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. We must realize that here, the Ethiopian eunuch, this is a government official from a foreign land. This wasn't just some, you know, Billy Joe down the street that he met there on the street corner begging for money. No, this is someone that had great materials. He had a position. Now, even us here in America as citizens of the great United States of America, you and me decide one day we wake up and we're going to go next to a government official, or we're going to go next to the president's vehicle. And I reckon it won't be very long where you'll hear two words, pop, pop. I mean, it's not going to be very long where something's going to take place. Why? Because that's a very dangerous thing to do. We don't do that, even in our own country. But here, Philip, he was going and he was so focused that he realized it didn't matter what might hinder me. I'm going to go with no fear. Why? Because I have the greatest protection that there ever was. I am in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, that we might go out with such boldness in our own lives to realize it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what strength they have or what they can do to us. As long as we're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be safe in his hands. He had no fear when the Holy Spirit of God said, join thyself to that chariot. He got close to that government official. But not only did he have no bias, he had no fear, but also he had no hesitation. He had no hesitation. There in the beginning parts of verse 30, it says here, and Philip ran thither to him. Philip didn't, he didn't hold, he didn't wait and try to reason with God. Well, God, you know, I didn't wear my good shoes today. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to really try to get after that chariot. He didn't say, well, you know, now's not a good time. I was actually getting ready to go to lunch. And, you know, I'd really like to eat my lunch first, Lord, before I'm obedient to your call. You know, those things sound silly, but yet how many of us hear the call of God and we make up excuses time and time again? Amen. And we miss opportunities. But here he had no hesitation. When the Spirit spoke to him, he says immediately there, it says, and Philip ran. He didn't just walk. He went with some urgency. Oh, that we must realize that, hey, Jesus is coming again. And he's coming soon. We don't have much time. How much more time will we delay? He ran thither. And it says he had no hesitation. And the thing there is when he didn't hesitate, he was able to catch up to the chariot. Because if he would have hesitated, the chariot might have just passed him on by. But also when he joined himself to that chariot and when he ran to it, he got close enough where he was able to be in the exact point place where God wanted him to be so that he could hear that that lost person, that religious person that was urgent, was trying to get truth, was reading the book of Isaiah. If he would have hesitated, he might have finished his reading, closed the book, and been done with it. He would have missed that opportunity. Let me encourage you, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Because it has eternal implications. We see here that we must obey God immediately. We must be looking for opportunities. But thirdly, we must find out where they are and meet them there. I wrote down this quote. We must meet them where they are to take them where they're not. The truth of the matter is this world today, they like to meet people where they are. They like to get down on their level and they start looking like them and talking like them and speaking a little slang to, you know, relate with the people. And we have no problem with getting down to where they are. But God doesn't tell us to get down to where they are and stay there. Jesus Christ never connected with a lost person and became that lost person or acted in the manner in which that lost person was acting. He got low enough to be able to get his hands dirty and get that person, but he brought him to himself. We must be willing to reach people where they are, to take them to the Lord Jesus where they're not. And the first thing that I wrote down here is that we must be willing to ask questions. This is a great way to be able to find out where someone is. In verse number 30, in the second latter part of that, it says, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, if you want to find out where a person is in their life, or find out where a person is spiritually, because guess what? You and me, we're blessed. We know the truth of the Word of God. We've been taught Scripture. We have this book, this King James Bible, the Word of God for the English-speaking people in our hands. And we have the answers of life. But if we don't ask questions, we won't realize where people are, and we won't allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in that situation. But if we start asking some questions, we allow ourselves to say, okay, this person, they're a Catholic, so they're based upon works, so I can give you some verses for that. Or you find out, hey, that this person, it might be Pentecostal, so they're going on salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're also going on baptism. Oh, the Bible's got answers for that. Or you find out that this person is dealing with issues with the church because of people that had failed them in their life. Oh, we have answers for that. Wherever the person is, if we ask questions, we can find out where they're at. And here, Philip did the same thing. He asked questions, understand it thou what thou readest? But also, secondly, we see that he took time to listen. He took time to listen. In the latter part of verse number 31, all the way to now verse number 34, he didn't go, and this was a deacon now. This was someone that had preached in a country and had seen people accept the Lord Jesus Christ. A great work was done. He very easily could have just took out his gospel gun and just went at it with every Bible verse that he had learned from Bible college, okay? I mean, he could have just let it rip. But no, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And he took time and he cared so much about that person, not just about how he looked, but he cared about that person accepting Christ and getting to a place where he'd receive it, where he asked a question. And then after he asked the question, he took time to listen. See, sometimes we don't get nowhere with people and we turn people off, not because we don't ask questions, but we don't take time to listen. And we lose the opportunity to find out where they are, where the Holy Spirit can use us to be able to get them to Christ. But Philip, he took time to listen, and he found out where he was reading and what he was struggling with. And then the last thing that I put in here, then he opened his mouth to answer. There at the very end, it says here, then Philip, in verse number 35, then Philip opened his mouth. And I wrote down here, use the Bible. Use the Bible, because guess what? Your words, my words, they don't hold much weight. They might sound good. We can maybe throw some big words that we got off dictionary.com. You know, we could do some things to make us look good. But guess what? Our words are so minimal when we're talking about a comparison to the Word of God. Oh, we must ask questions to find out where they are. We must take time to listen so we can hear what they're dealing with or what they're questioning. And then at the end of it, we don't just walk away and say, I'm going to pray for you. But yet God used you, how God's made you and how God's equipped you to open your mouth and give them the word. Philip gave them the word. He found him where they are and took him where he's not. And then we see that we must stick with the task, and we're wrapping up here, but we must stick with the task. In the latter part of verse number 35, the Bible says, and he began at that same scripture. I like that. And then it says, and he preached unto him Jesus. We see here that he didn't give him opinions. A lot of churches, a lot of religious people, a lot of people just in general like to give people opinions. He didn't take time for opinions. He didn't spend time on politics. People love to talk politics nowadays. He didn't use the little bit of opportunity that he had to be able to shine the light of politics. He didn't take that time to be able to self-promote himself and say, hey, do you know I have credentials for leading such and such amount of people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has greatly used me in my time of ministry. No, he said it wasn't about me. He preached unto him Jesus. The truth of the matter is, you don't know how much time you'll have. You don't know how much opportunity you'll have as far as that door, that window of opportunity being opened with that family member or with that coworker or wherever that might be. But we must take that opportunity to first off give them Jesus. We must give them Jesus. But not only did he give them Jesus, but he gave them sound doctrine. In verse number 36 and 37, here the Ethiopian eunuch starts to talk to him, and he says, hey, there's a body of water. What hinders me to be baptized? He wanted to get baptized. And if you read at the beginning part, they were actually on their way to worship in Jerusalem. So they had some kind of religious understanding already. But guess what? Philip didn't just say, all right, well, you want to get baptized? Let's go get baptized. He didn't just give him Jesus, but he gave him sound doctrine. Notice what he asked. It says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He had to make sure before this person just jumps in a body of water just to say that he done dipped himself and now he has another one to tally off on his baptism list. He made sure that he understood why he was doing what he was doing. He had to make sure he was saved. It's called believer's baptism for a reason, amen? But here he made sure not only that he had Jesus, but he made sure that he had sound doctrine, that he understand what the Bible says about matters. He gave him Jesus, he gave him sound doctrine, and lastly, he gave him direction. In verse number 38, it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. That wasn't the Ethiopian eunuch. That wasn't the government official. That was that little guy named Philip that had no authority on that chariot. But yet he was being used by God, and he realized he was God's man for that time, for that lost individual, that he gave him Jesus and he got saved. And he saw the opportunity that, hey, this person understands. They have some doctrine now. But also he took leadership to realize that, hey, stop the chariot. Let me lead this person onward. He gave him direction. You might have someone in your life that you gave him Jesus and they trusted Christ. And you're starting to explain some things. But let God give you some boldness to realize that God is going to use you to give them direction. Hey, say, hey, it's good to be saved, but you don't just stay home and get your little satellite church on. No, you need to be in the house of God. Let me give you some direction. Hey, the Bible says that we ought to tithe, amen? The Bible says that we ought to reach the world, so missions is a good thing to be involved in. Hey, those things that you did, that you used to do, guess what? You're a new creature now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me give you some direction. Philip, he gave him Jesus, he gave him sound doctrine, and he gave him direction. And then the last thing is we must continue the process. After all was said and done, in that last two verses, we see that Philip, he didn't just quit and say, man, my job's done here, praise the Lord, let me go on vacation, and until next time. But it says here in those verses that he went on, the Lord took him from that place, and as he was going on until he got to Caesarea, he went to every place doing the same thing. Preaching the gospel, seeing people trust Christ, doing what he knew he was supposed to do. And we must follow God. We must preach the gospel. But then we get to reap the harvest that God has to us. I just want to say, don't quit. Don't quit. Many of you here have had opportunities to be in this church or be in a solid church and know the Lord for quite some time. And you had opportunities to be able to lead people to the Lord. But let me just say, if you're here under the preaching of the Word of God and you're here breathing tonight and you're alive, guess what? God's not done with you. There's still need for more. There's communities all around the country. There's a black community that, I could have went anywhere. God could have sent me anywhere, but God saw fit to call my family and I to go, and not just to preach an opinion, not just to tell them how they can get rich quick, but to let them know that there's still a Savior that loves them and that died for the sins of mankind. And we have endeavored, and we will, to see them accept the Lord Jesus, and to plant a good New Testament Baptist church in that area. Why? Because we must connect with people. I don't know where you're at tonight. You might be here, and maybe God's touched your heart. Maybe we need to do a better job. And I could say, hey, I need to do a better job to reach lost people before it's everlasting too late. You might be here and say, that's me tonight. Or maybe you're lost, and you're one of those people that God brought tonight to be able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you might have been playing religion for a long time. You might have been warming a pew. But don't go warming a pew and being in church and die and go to a hell. It's not worth it. Well, I pray that today you'll get that settled before it's everlasting too late. But today I pray that we wouldn't just respond to a man. We're not responding to a church. But I pray that we would respond to God as he sees fit. So I'll ask if you would bow your head and close your eyes. I'll have Pastor come.